Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Local Business Network.
Hey guys, welcome. This is Al Crawford. This is Networking Squared. I apologize for the brief hiccup at the beginning. It's always one of my little technical issues I deal with every single week. So welcome. This is actually our seventh season of doing this show. And what I try to do each year when I kick off the new year is I focus on members of Local Business Network. Local Business Network is a company that I'm a part of, and just so impressed by the membership and the different people that are in there. The focus of this show is to spotlight small business owners in Southeast Michigan, and what better way to do that than to spotlight some of the different chapters that are part of Local Business Network. Today we're going to be featuring several members from the Local Business Network chapter that's in Chesterfield, Michigan, and I'm really excited about the lineup that we have today, and I'm sure you will enjoy them as well. Our first guest is going to be David Underwood. David is actually with Top Flight Mortgage. David's actually been in the industry for more than 20 years and definitely knows his stuff. So without further ado, we'll bring David on right now. David, are you there, buddy?
Yeah, how you doing, Al? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for calling in, and I'm sure our listening audience is going to enjoy, you know, what you have to say. I think that even though it snowed this morning, spring is definitely coming, and this tends to be the time of the year that people tend to get pretty excited about what's going on in the housing market. So can you kind of give us an update on what's going on in the housing market today?
Sure, Alan. You're absolutely right. This is the time where normally things pick up in our industry. However, the market's been kind of hot, so things have been pretty crazy all through the year for at least the last year and a half. I like to kind of refer to what's going on as the Wild West. It's just really crazy out there. The market's real tight. There's a lot of things going on with bidding wars, people trying to buy homes, but that's what we're dealing with now.
I've heard a bunch of different people talking about this right now, and that is that if somebody gets in a bidding war, the house still has to hit a certain value. I mean, how do you contend with, you know, with people, you know, not being happy with the appraisals, and what's the process when that's involved?
You know, Al, that's a real good question. Having done this as long as I have, I think this is about the craziest I've seen it. I actually see quite a bit now where buyers are overbidding on a home just to win the bid as kind of a tactic to use. I'm not saying that someone should always do that, but they're overbidding just so they can win the bid and have an opportunity to deal one-on-one with the seller. And if the appraisal comes back and it comes back a little low, then they kind of will worry about dealing with that in the renegotiating or setting some terms. Sometimes they'll pay the difference. So there's a lot of things that are going on. And that's like I said, that's why I kind of call it the Wild West out there. There's things that are going on that are a little bit unusual, but you know, you have to be a little creative. I always suggest that buyers are working with a good realtor, a real estate agent, to help them because the realtors, they know what's going on out there. They know the areas, and they know kind of how things are going with putting offers in. So that's
right.
Something
yeah.
that I always – yeah, and as a buyer also, and especially first-time buyers, they may not realize it, but – I always tell them you should always have an agent because you're not really paying the commission. The seller's always paying commission for the agents anyway.
Right, for sure. So when you're dealing with the first-time home buyers and the housing market is hot, and I think that, you know, what happens is that this is kind of behind the scenes, but there are a lot of different products that are out there. What are some of the, you know, mortgages that you see out there right now that and in this crazy wild west that your customers are typically, you know, going towards?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, we have pretty much everyone's using a lot of the traditional programs that are out there. We, as a lender, we do pretty much everything. We do conventional loans, FHA, VA loans for veterans that have that benefit. But a lot of people out there are using FHA, especially because there are a lot of first-time buyers still out there. But a lot of times the buyers are not familiar with what it takes to get an FHA loan, what kind of condition the property might have to be in, whether or not they can buy a fixer-upper. We do have products, we have rehab products that we can use, but a lot of it's just a matter of educating the buyer in a proper manner so that they know what kind of tools they have that they will qualify for so that they can go in with a lot of confidence when they get ready to put in an offer. One of the things go ahead,
buddy. No, where you were going, I wanted to ask that question was, when we deal with technology and we're dealing with all the things that are out there right now, and we see these, get approved over the phone, log into this app and get approved, that scares the bejeebers out of me. And what I want the audience to understand is why you should never, ever do that, and why you need to talk to somebody like yourself when you're going into, trying to qualify for a mortgage.
Yeah, I mean, technology is great. Technology helps us in a lot of ways. However, when it comes to getting a mortgage, along with some of the things I mentioned already, there's just a lot of detailed items that are not considered when you're trying to get something as important as a mortgage just straight through technology. I don't want to say that it's wrong to do an online application, but, that should only be, technology should be part of the process. And it's an important part of the process. But it's very important that you're able to talk to someone one-on-one to help you through the process, to bring you up to speed, even if you've owned a home before. Things change, and things are constantly changing in our industry. So I get it almost every day when I'm talking to people. People are shocked at some of the things that are going on out there, some of the things they have to do to get pre-approved, some of the things that they're going to have to expect during the process in getting pre-approved or putting in an offer and, moving towards closing. I always say it's always best to deal with a good mortgage professional. Whenever you're getting ready to buy a home, you want to do that really as the first step. You want to get with a good mortgage professional, talk to someone, talk about what your goals are, what you're trying to accomplish, how you're trying to accomplish it. And that way exactly what you qualify for as far as an amount, exactly what you qualify for as far as programs, and that way you can go in with confidence. Once again, when you go to put an offer in, you know exactly where you stand, and that's going to give you a strong edge over possibly, hopefully, some of the other buyers that you may be competing against out there in the market.
Yeah, and I guess, Dave, what would you recommend? So the person who's thinking, okay, now's the time, I'm going to go start looking at houses, can you kind of set up a game plan for that person that is saying, well, I'm going to go start looking at houses? I'm sure what you get is you get people that go out and find a house first, and then they're calling you to try to get pre-approved. Can you kind of explain how you like to work with the buyer and making sure this process goes a lot smoother for them?
Sure. Yeah, I tell people once again that they should contact someone like me first. Contact someone like me first so that we can basically go through everything. We can get an idea what their income is. We can get an idea what their assets are. We can find out if they've had some credit issues that might affect them getting approved for a mortgage. Some people don't understand that there may be a waiting period if you've had a previous bankruptcy or a previous foreclosure, what those waiting periods are. Sometimes people don't understand that it may be, the waiting period may be a lot sooner than what they thought. Once again, because things change as years have gone by. And what it's going to take as far as down payment money. where that money has to be. A lot of people, you know, believe it or not, there's still people out there that don't like to keep their money in a bank, and they have what we call mattress money. They've got money just sitting around the house, and they think they can use that for a transaction. Well, you might be able to use it for a transaction. You might be able to use it for a transaction, but, you know, we kind of, in most cases, like to have it in the bank. So you might have to put it in the bank, and it might have to be in the bank for a minimum of 60 days before we can use it. So there's little things like that. Yeah, there's little things like that that, you know, with a good mortgage professional, they're going to ask you the right questions. They're going to get the right information to see exactly where you fit, tell you exactly what you need to do. So you know, if are you ready to go now? Are you ready to invest time in looking? Because if you're not ready to go, you're really wasting time. You know, you're wasting your time especially, but you're wasting everyone else's. That would be the first step. Second step is if you're working with a good mortgage professional, then they're probably going to tell you that you need a good agent. So you need to find a good agent, and a good mortgage person can help you find one and suggest a few agents for you to talk to so that you can, you know, screen some agents and find one that you're comfortable working with that's going to work well with you and have your back and you know, as you go out on this adventure of finding a new home.
So one of the questions that, you know, I hear people say, do you have good credit? Do you have average credit? Do you have poor credit? Can you kind of give an overview of because I'm sure you get that question. So let's start with, can someone with average credit buy a house?
The answer to that is yes, depending on what you call average credit. And that's something, you're right, Al. I get that question all the time. Most people think their credit is really worse than what it is. So you don't need to have perfect credit to get a mortgage. With the different products that we have to offer, you can get qualified for a mortgage with average credit. And what I mean by that is, you know, as long as you're pretty much paying things on time, and you do have some credit, then you've got a real good chance of being qualified for a mortgage. It's just a matter of how much you're going to qualify for. One of the nice things about what I do, and I've done this for years, is I've worked a lot with first-time buyers. And when I go to review their credit, and let me mention that it's not always just about the credit score. It's about the score, but it's also about how your credit looks and things that are on your credit. What I've done is I've been able to coach people that might be kind of right on the edge. You know, they might have a decent score. Their overall credit might be good, but there might be one or two little minor things that we need to address, and I can pinpoint those things and explain to them what we need to do. Sometimes we can get it fixed in less than 30 days. You know, sometimes it might take several months. Yeah, depending on the situation. So yeah, that's one of the things that that we can always do, is we can always guide them in the right direction.
What do you see as far as rates and things like kind of in your crystal ball? Do you see that from a standpoint of refinancing or purchasing, that now is the best time? Do you see that rates are going to be, you know, going on an uptick soon?
Yeah, Al, unfortunately, rates are going up. I mean, they're heading up. As you know, everything, you know, we live kind of in a global market now, mortgage rates are based off of mortgage bonds, but the bond market is affected by the stock market and affected by what the Federal Reserve does. The Fed just raised rates not too long ago, and there's talk that they're going to be raising probably a minimum of 3 more times this year. So, you know, there's a lot going against us to keep rates down. I mean, rates are still good, but they're on their way up. And if you're thinking about refinancing, if you haven't talked to a good mortgage professional yet, now's the time to do it if it's beneficial for you to refinance. Because if you wait till rates get up too high, there may not be a benefit to refinance. As a matter of fact, there's millions of homeowners that have already missed out because they, you know, they just didn't take the time to put it on their priority list to address that. And you know, now rates are probably too high for them to benefit. as a buyer, you're just always going to have to deal with whatever rates are in the market at the time you look to buy. So if you're thinking about buying this year, the sooner you get started on that, the better chance you're going to have of getting a little bit better interest rate.
Fantastic. Dave, unfortunately, we are out of time already. For our audience, if somebody wants more information, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
The best way to reach me is just to call me directly on my direct number. That number is 248-219-3457. Or they can always call my office at 586-753-9000.
Great, great. And I've shared your information on Facebook as well. If somebody's listening through Facebook, you can always contact Dave through Facebook as well. That was Dave Underwood. Dave, thank you so much for tuning in, or actually calling in today. And again, for our audience, he's my guy. If there's something you're looking at mortgage-wise, Dave's absolutely the guy you need to reach out to. So, Dave, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day, okay? Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Al. Have a great rest of your day as well. Thanks.
You too, sir. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to move on and see. I'm just going to try to move him here. All right. Our next guest is actually, it's going to be John Terry. John is actually with On Guard Fire Protection, and we will bring him on right now. John, are you there, sir?
Yes. Hello, Al. Can you hear me?
You sound great, man. How are you today?
Good, good. Yourself?
I'm really good. And I really appreciate you calling in today. What you bring to the table is something that I think so many people need to know more about. So I was really happy about you having the opportunity to be a part of the call today. Fire protection is definitely one of those secret things that I think we all dread or we don't want to think about, but things that we absolutely do need to. What I want you to start out with is kind of going over a list of the types of services and products that you provide with your company.
Yeah, sure. So, we mainly deal with commercial businesses of any size, and we provide fire extinguishers, emergency lighting, and we also service those products as well, as far as the lights, batteries, recharging extinguishers, keeping them in compliance. And we also handle some suppression systems like you might find in a commercial kitchen or a dry chem booth in a body shop that, for painting cars and things like that.
When I saw that last summer when we had that car dealership that burned, I was thinking, God, I wish John would have been in that place because he would have probably stopped the fire. So he didn't have your system in place.
Well, it's funny. We actually do business with a lot of dealerships, and that particular one we did not have service with. But I did hear, the story. I think it was caught on fire by somebody using a buffer, a cleaning guy, and I think it somehow sparked some and ignited something. But, yeah, and then I heard that they didn't have some working extinguishers that might have aided them in putting it out. But, yeah, that's about all I know about that. But, yeah, things can happen.
You were talking about your on-site service vehicles. Can you explain more about that?
Yeah, what it allows us to do is actually it's great. We can bring the shop right out to your location. So these trucks enable us to hold a lot of new equipment and also gives us the ability to on-site service your equipment. We can recharge right there on the spot and service just about anything right there, which enables us, not to have to run back and forth to the shop. So it, allows us to keep our prices in check for sure and, provide a quicker service to the customers as well.
And I think that with your expertise, I think the other thing that matters is that not every fire extinguisher fits the need. So there's a lot of different types of chemicals and different things that you're dealing with that it's your expertise that's really going to recommend which product is going to be best for the customer, right?
Well, to be honest, to probably 99% of fire extinguishers are what you call dry chem ABC.
Oh.
And those letters stand for the types of fires. So A is normal solid combustible material like paper and wood. B stands for flammable liquids, you know, gasoline and things like that. And C is for electrical, not that the electricity itself is on fire, but anything in contact with electricity that you might be putting out, a fuse box or something like that. So it won't conduct the electricity, and that's why it's rated for C. So what I'm saying is, like, yeah, there are different extinguishers. There's foam, there's CO2, but like what I say is everybody's going to this, you know, mostly dry chem ABC just because it works on most common fires. And now there are some special applications that you know, you might find in maybe a computer room because they want clean agents in there. So it used to be halon agents, but they've since been kind of banned by the government because they're depleting the ozone. So they've got replacement clean agents for those particular uses. But like you said, those are not, you know, computer rooms. Yes, you know, they got them in a lot of businesses. So those applications are there. And there's a few others. You know, magnesium is being used in the car industry now a lot. And, you know, that's a combustible metal, actually. So that metal gets too hot, it actually can start itself on fire. And that can't be put out by a normal extinguisher. They've got these Class D metal powder extinguishers that are used for those. And, again, those are just kind of applications. But, yeah, again, most part is dry chem ABC.
And it's one of these things where you know so much about what you're doing, and I'm sure our audience is going like, oh, my God. You make it sound so simple, but it's definitely not. From my standpoint, I'm kind of in awe listening to you talking about this stuff because I'm so clueless, and I'm glad that I'm learning what I am from you. So in your industry, you know, what is it that you do or that your company does that you think really kind of separates you from your competition?
Well, we like to actually inform our customers because a lot of times they're not informed, and a lot of our competition is going out there. And if something's out of date, basically an extinguisher, or like I said, the dry chems are most common. So those every 6 years, those have to be basically broken down and rebuilt. And whether it's a 6-year maintenance or a hydro test, where the hydro test is done every 12 years to recertify the cylinder to hold pressure. But anyways, we inform our customers on what the services are that's required, and what sometimes our competition is doing is going, oh, this extinguisher is no longer any good. We have to replace it with a new one, which, you know, that gets very costly. If the extinguisher is in good shape, there's no reason not to rebuild it and save the customer, you know, 70% of what it would cost to replace it, you know, new. So, again, I think it's us informing our customers on what really needs to be done. And because we're using vehicles that we can service on site, there's no need for us to just push off new equipment because, you know, the competition a lot of times rolling around in just a van with, you know, new stock in it, you know.
So if somebody, typically the new customer, I mean, I guess I look at it from a couple different ways, and I'd like you to kind of, you know, enlighten me a little bit more. Is I'm moving to a new building, and I see there's fire extinguishers, and they may, you know, is there an expiration date on most extinguishers?
Well, what you're going to have is an annual inspection generally, which, you know, that's where, you know, companies such as ours was going to put their tag on it if the extinguisher's compliant, if it meets all the requirements. And then that tag's generally good for 1 year, okay. Although the extinguishers should be inspected internally, can be inspected once a month to make sure they're in place and in working condition. But basically that tag expires in 1 year. So when you go into a new location, the first thing you want to do is look at that tag and see, you know, it's usually going to be punched with a year and a month, and then it expires from 1 year from that date.
Okay. And then another question is, how would I know if the extinguisher has actually been used and could possibly be empty?
Well, most of your extinguishers are going to have gauge on it. So this gauge, you know, is going to have a needle on it, and there's a green area, or, you know, green area in on the gauge, which indicates, you know, that cylinder's charged and it's in normal operating pressure. So that's what you want to look at. That's the number one thing, you know, and really what that's telling you is that there's pressure in the cylinder, which will push out the chemical, basically. So as long as it's charged with the pressure to able to push out the, you know, the dry chem, you know, that's basically what you're looking for. So again, yeah, you just want to look at that pressure gauge, and there should also be a tamper seal around the pull pin, which is located on the lever of the extinguisher.
Okay. And I point that out because when I bought my carpet cleaning truck, that was something I didn't even know. I actually brought the tank in for you to take a look at it, and you're like, this is empty. And for the novice, I didn't know what I was looking for. So I really kind of
right.
wanted you to kind of share that information with our audience to say these are things you need to look at.
Right, right. Exactly.
So what is the geographic area that you work within?
Well, we pretty much service the whole lower Michigan. I mean, we're not, you know, way up north all the time, but we do have some routes up there a few times a year. So we kind of have built, you know, some clients in certain areas that we go to a couple times a year. I mean, mostly we're in, you know, southern Michigan, you know, going as far west as Lansing most of the time, and when all the way down to the Ohio border, we even have a couple of Ohio customers as well.
And if somebody's interested in learning more, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Well, they can call our toll-free number. That's 888-350-1133. Excuse me, 1133. And they can get a hold of us there, and we can help them with anything they might need.
That's cool. So is there, again, I guess another question, we have still a couple of minutes. From an insurance standpoint, is this something that insurance companies, is there something, some kind of communication with insurance that they follow up on this, or how do the insurance and this play together at all?
Well, you know, initially you got to get, if you're just moving into a building, you know, you got to get a certificate of occupancy from the city. So they're going to be the first ones on board going,
okay,
making sure this equipment is up to code and you know, in working condition. But yeah, the insurance companies also, you know, I think a lot of them will work in different ways. I'm not an expert on how they do it, but I know we've been called in on several jobs because the insurance companies have found they weren't, you know, up to compliance. So there's different ways, though, whether it's just them popping in on a visit or them asking you to send in, you know, a copy of you know, the invoicing for an annual service. But, yeah, you know, like I said, it can be all different situations with the insurance companies for sure.
Very cool. We have about a minute to go. Anything else you'd like to close with? Anything else you wanted to throw out there?
Well, I guess another thing that we provide is, you know, most of our competition is dealing with new equipment only. We also deal with refurbished equipment. This is basically, we buy a lot of it out of California. The labor rates in California are so high that they don't even recharge extinguishers. So we take that gently used product from them, and we can get it back up to compliance and, you know, sell it for less than half of what a new unit's going to cost. So, you know, people that are looking to be compliant but not, you know, save a little money while doing it, we have options for them to allow them to, you know, have equipment that looks fine, I mean, and is up to code at half the price. And, you know, just like I give people the analogy, you know, you wouldn't throw out your barbecue grill tank as it runs out, and, you know, you go exchange it or get it refilled, and this is kind of the
sure.
same idea. So, you know, a lot of our competition doesn't have that option, but we do.
That's great. I'm really glad you added that, and I'm sorry I didn't get to that. I'm great. That was kind of one of, I try to always have like one of those aha moments, and that was definitely one of those for me. What a great idea, man. It was a great thing to do. I always learn a lot from you, and I really appreciate your time today And for our audience, please, if you are in the if you're working in a building that uses fire extinguishers, and even if it's something, if you're doing it something for personal use, John's definitely the guy to reach out to. Again, it was John with On Guard Fire Protection. John, thank you so much for calling in today, and enjoy the rest of your week, okay?
All right, great. Thanks, Al.
Thanks, buddy. All right, we're going to move on, and our next guest is going to be Harold Day. Harold is with Beamer, and I'm just going to grab him right here and make sure I'm not hanging up on the wrong person here. Give me just 1 second. 1, 5, 3, 3 kids here. Harold, are you there, buddy?
I am here, Al.
Fantastic. So for our audience, Harold and I have been friends for a long time, and about, I don't know, a while ago now, I guess, Harold actually transitioned over to being a representative for a product called Beamer, and it was something that I was very curious about. I'd actually seen some of the results of Beamer, and I think that because it's the year the name Beamer, everybody thinks it's a car. It's not. It's the last thing that it is, and I'm really
yes.
happy to have Harold on today. Talking about the Beamer. So Harold, Harold Day. Harold, what is a Beamer?
Well, you're right, Al. My Beamer is not an automobile. It is a bioelectric magnetic energy regulation. Okay. And that's a lot of words. So let's boil it down to basics. It is a medical blanket that increases the blood flow, enhances oxygen, increases bile and bowel waste, and the increase in the blood flow is 20 to 30% greater than what we've got today in our bodies, and it's equal to the blood flow you had when you were back in your late 20s, early 30s, and as we get older, this blood flow just slows down and slows down and gets to a point where it's moving like rush hour. It just doesn't flow properly.
Well,
this blanket. I'm sorry.
So I had the pleasure of actually coming over to one of Harold's days where he actually allows people to try the Beamer out, and they do an amazing presentation explaining what the Beamer is, and it's something that it's really impossible to talk about everything that it can do in a 15-minute block. But when we get done, we're going to go through some other opportunities for you to learn, you know, more about it. But Harold, a couple of things from when I was there and I was able to use the blanket, and I'll tell you, I was amazed at how it felt, and I wasn't sure, you know, and it was something that I felt immediately a difference, and I know that that's not something you can say, oh, we can't say anything's going to happen, but I definitely noticed something from just the one time that I did use it. But there's a four-letter acronym that I wanted you to kind of go into. It's PEMF. Can you talk about that, or what is that?
Yes. It's a pulse electric magnetic field, PEMF. And what this is the heart and soul of the blanket. And through the regulation of the pulse electric magnetic field that the blanket gives off, this is what reaches and gets into the body and creates the movement of the blood flow, which starts to increase the flow through this magnetic field. Now, magnetic field is less than what we get off of the earth. The earth puts out, if you were to walk out in your backyard with your bare feet, you are getting 50 microtesla of energy from the earth. And our blanket puts out between 10 and 20 tesla. So we're lower than the earth, but yet with the frequencies that are in this electric pulsation, this is what makes the blood move faster and gives you the benefits of the bio waste, the blood waste, and from that point on, it just seems to enhance other things that maybe you didn't even know was bothering you.
Right. And I heard a lot of the testimonials and the stories and stuff when I was, you know, with your group. And the one thing that I will say is that, you know, I've personally watched you kind of reverse age. I'm watching everybody else around me getting older, and I'm watching you getting younger. And it's kind of staggering to me watching. And I want you to share, you know, how this has actually helped you.
All right. Well, back in October of last year, I was going to, and for restrictive reasons, I will call it a discomfort clinic. And yeah, I cannot use, I'm bound by regulations. I'm not supposed to use the other word, which begins with a P. I was going to a clinic to manage my discomfort, man. On a scale from 1 to 10, I was at an 8. And I would get the treatments, I'd come out of there, I'd feel good for a day or two, but I was going to have to go back and get another treatment. These treatments are expensive, and I did 20 visits, and it was $2,000.
Yikes.
And, yeah. And I also had an appointment with Dr. Michelle, and I went to her office that day, and she asked me questions and asked me how I was feeling, and I told her I was going to this discomfort clinic. That is where I got introduced to the Beamer. Okay.
Got it.
And Dr. Michelle laid me on it. And within 4 minutes, the tips of my fingers were tingling, and the tips of my toes were tingling, and I just knew at that point that whatever was going on was working. I mean, I felt this blanket working, okay? So I, at that point, started going to Dr. Michelle's office, and I didn't go back to my discomfort appointments, and I went and started laying on the Beamer and started to notice that my discomfort level was coming down. I was, you know, I think within the first 2 weeks I dropped from an 8 to a 7. And I was noticing also that my fatigue wasn't there, and that in the morning when I woke up, I didn't have that morning fog that we have until we drink that first cup of coffee.
Right.
And I just was feeling better, and I just I knew that I had to do something, and that's when I explored the options of becoming a Beamer distributor. But it also, the Beamer affected my asthma, which I've had since I was 5 years old, and to the point where this past, just 2 weeks ago, I had a cold, and it used to be when I got a cold, and you've known me long enough, you've known me that well, I've gone through a couple of these bouts where I either end up with pneumonia or I end up with severe bronchitis, something that really knocks me down. And this cold that I had two weeks ago lasted 6 days. And in those 6 days, I did not end up with pneumonia, did not end up with bronchitis, and very mild effects of the cold to where I was still able to function on a daily basis. You know what? The only thing that's changed in my life that dramatically is the Beamer blanket. And as I'm laying on it longer and longer, and I've had my blanket since October, I'm noticing that there's a constant improvement in my body, that things like my fingernails and also just my overall performance and my awareness and my ability to concentrate now has gotten so much better. So, you know, the only thing that's really changed is I do my sessions every day on the Beamer now.
So this, you've become such a fan of this product that you actually, you worked your whole life, worked your butt off, decide to retire, and then you find this blanket, and now you may be retired from that, but you're definitely not retired from promoting the Beamer. I mean, has it made that much of a difference in your life, Harold?
Well, what I'm going to tell you is I went from trying to knowing what it's done for me, it's become more of a compassion-driven situation now where I know what it's done for me and I just would love to touch and show the people that have these hardships with their body. I can't get into disease naming,
sure,
but that they're afflicted with different things out there that stop them from having a good day-to-day life, that it's become a passion of mine now, to where I do it for the compassion more than the reward of just selling the blanket. I know that I'm helping people. I'm able to touch people and literally see their lives change in front of me on a day-to-day basis. So it's compassion-driven now, where when I first started it, it was something that I thought, well, you know, I just didn't want to sit around and, you know, just do nothing. I wanted to do something and stay in touch, but that has gone by the wayside, and I do it out of compassion now. And I really do.
I think that how I see this, and unfortunately, we could talk for this for an hour, but our time goes by very quickly, is that how I see this is, and I can say things that you can't say because it's my show.
Right.
Is that if you're in a situation that you feel that, you know, what your current your medication or the treatments or the things that you're doing, if you don't see that you're seeing the results that you want, if you're in pain that you don't have any answers for, if there's frustrations as far as from a physical standpoint, then this is something that I recommend that you contact Harold and try this out. And it's something where it's 8 minutes. And it's something where you can see what this thing is. And what I love about, you know, Harold's not a hard sell guy. Harold's not going to say, buy my blanket. Harold wants you to love this thing. And if this blanket ends up doing the things that it's done for so many people that I've already seen, then to me it's like a no-duh kind of thing that this should be part of, you know, of your life. Harold, if people are interested in meeting you and learning more about the blanket, what's the best way for them to reach out to you, buddy?
All right. I'll give you my cell phone number. That's the best and fastest way. It's area code 586-615-1593. They can also reach me through my Beamer mail, which is harold.day_JR@beamermail.com. That's BEMERMAIL.com.
Awesome. All right, cool. Again, huge fan. Think it's a great idea, a great product. And I think that it's really the answer. I know we're actually running over, but I know that you've had your successes. I just remembered one lady who had been talking about going up and down the stairs and basically almost being unable to do it and not even realizing after a couple of months suddenly that she was going up and down the stairs with no issues. And the only thing different was the fact she'd been using the Beamer. So those are the things that were like, oh my God, it's such a subtle thing that you see that I think people don't even realize how much it is affecting their lives until it's actually, you know, happened for them. So Harold, bless you so much for doing what you do. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Let me just throw this out for those that are really interested. If they would like to get a free lunch on me, I would love to take them to a lunch and learn every Wednesday, and they could see some of these stories from these people that have been on the blanket for 6 months to a year and a half. And it's got to affect you because these are real and they're true stories. Yes.
Well, Harold, we're actually over time now, so I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thanks for calling in, buddy, and enjoy the rest of your day, okay?
Thank you, Al, for what you do. I appreciate it.
See you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right, our next guest is going to be Brian Goodrow. Brian is actually with Michigan Insurance Source Agency, and we'll bring him on right now. Brian, how are you today, buddy?
Pretty good, Al. How are you?
I'm really good. I know that you've actually been in the studio so far listening to the different people. And one of the things that I like when we do these shows is kind of listening to the synergies of the different people and the different businesses. And I know although Harold is a little unique in what he brings to the table, as far as the stuff that you do with the fire extinguishers, the mortgages, the other insurances, all the different things, I think, you know, you bring some amazing quality to this group. So your tagline is, we help people protect their asset. I butchered that. We help people protect their asset. Why do you feel most people are putting themselves at risk?
Well, you know, with the fine state of Michigan being the highest auto rates in the country, people tend to shortchange themselves when it comes to liability, because they want to save money. So the majority of your auto cost, your auto insurance rates, is the PIP, which is your medical. And yet they only go with state minimums for liability. And that really puts them at risk, because if something happens and they get sued, you know, you're seeing all these lawyers going, well, we've won X amount of dollars for our clients on, you know, on TV, and that they tell how many millions of dollars they won. One company even said that they won billions of dollars. Well, guess what? They're getting that money from somebody, and it's usually the liability that helps those people out, and it's the liability that protects their assets. And a lot of people only go with the state minimums. So when you got the minimums, you know, if they're suing for more, well, how are you going to pay for it?
Can you give an example of a situation like that? Because I think that this hits home for a lot of people.
Well, yeah, you know, a lot of people joke with me because I like my granny example. But say you're just driving down the road and you didn't mean to cause an accident. You got distracted in some way, and it wasn't because of your cell phone. It wasn't because you were doing something else. It was, you know, hey, something flew past your window and you accidentally drove off the road, and, you know, dear old granny's walking down the sidewalk and you hit granny. Well, granny needs to be taken care of. Granny's family members are expecting something for her care. Now, the majority of her care, her medical and all that, would be covered underneath the PIP. But if there's anything else they brought to the family, any financial income, any things that they feel that they're entitled to, they're going to sue you. And when they do that, it goes towards your liability. So, you know, they might be suing for $300,000-$500,000, depending on the value of that person's life to them, or better yet, the value that whatever attorney they got offline thinks their life is, you know, so they can get their fair share. And,
right,
you know, that's what they feel they deserve. So your liability comes in, and where most people sit there and they go, well, okay, so it's going to pay the bill. No, see, here's the thing. Those evil insurance companies, lawyers talk about them because they pay for your attorney to defend you, okay? So they have a stake in the game because it's their money. So let's just take the state minimum, which is $20,000 for any one individual or $40,000 total, and say the family's suing for $300,000. Well, the insurance company is going to sit there and say, okay, you got $20,000 stake in a game. We're going to do our best. We'll provide you the attorney until we feel that, you know what, hey, it's easier for us to negotiate. We'll pay our $20,000 and walk away. Well, now you're on the hook for the other $280,000.
Wow.
So how are you going to pay for that? I mean, think about it this way. When your first guest today was David, and, you know, he was talking about people's mortgages and interest rates. So let's use that as an example. Average home right now, say $150,000. They're taking out a 30-year mortgage to pay for a $150,000 home. But how are you going to pay for a $280,000 debt that you have for a liability that in the court of law, or, you know, even if you didn't even get to a jury trial, that you're found guilty of and you're responsible?
Right.
Okay, guess what they're going to come after? They're going to come after your wages. They're going to come after your property or your assets. They're going to make you liquidate your assets to pay that off. And those are all things that when I say people are leaving their assets hang out, you know, they shortchange themselves. They go too cheap on insurance when it comes to the liability, which in Michigan is actually really affordable. You know, for even $100, $300, It's okay. So move your deductible on your car from 500 to 1,000. Guess what? You can now probably afford the 100, 300,000 in liability versus the state minimum of 2040.
Okay. So
you
how
know,
do you, Brian, as an expert in what you do, I think that what some people don't know is they don't know based on their circumstances the kind of coverage they can have. And what terrifies me are the people that are, you know, buying their insurance based on cartoon characters, which on TV, which just terrifies me. But to be able to sit down with you, you know, what are the things that you look at, or what are the circumstances that you look at when you're sitting down with a client to recommend what's best for them?
Well, you look at a typical client and you go, you kind of calculate what they're looking for. Okay. You look at, well, basically their assets. So if you have somebody living in, say, northern Macomb County, a more valued home, you know, a couple $100,000, and, you know, they might have a couple kids that, you know, one day are going to want to be, you know, going to college. So they're putting money away for that, and they got a decent savings, and they might own two or three cars. You know, I've seen families with even more. You kind of calculate their assets, and you sit there and you say, okay, what do you have in assets? So if they have, you know, $300,000-$400,000 in assets, well, you know, you should have for your liability at least $300,000, you know, which is easy to do. And so when they sit there and they go, well, okay, you're just another insurance guy looking to, you know, make an extra buck. Well, that's not necessarily true. If you sit down and you walk them through it and you make them educated and you show them an example of, hey, you know, you're stuck with that bill if you lose in the court of law. So that means your paycheck can get garnished. That means that $200,000 home gets liquidated. And, you know, the kids going to college, well, yeah, that, you know, if you're only living on half your income because your paycheck's paying off that bill, you know, how are you going to pay for the kids going to college? So
right.
You show them, you walk them through that, and you say, hey, look, you know, you buy like $250,500 in liability, which meaning $250,000, $500,000 total. And then even like an umbrella policy, something that is covering them for up to $1 million. And we're only talking on a monthly basis, say, an extra $25.
Right.
And if you break that down to a weekly basis, what? It's a Venti Mocha Starbucks coffee, you know, that they just, okay, fine. Just don't buy that extra coffee. And, you know, people are more concerned about, well, you know, what happens if my car gets into an accident? I might have to pay a $1,000 deductible where I only want to pay $500. It's like, really? So you would rather pay a $400,000 tab if you got sued and you lost for liability purposes? Does that really make sense?
Right.
You know, and what's easier to pay off? An extra $500 on a collision of a car or a $400,000 liability lawsuit? It just, to me, doesn't make sense where you shortchange yourself on one end to save a couple pennies, you know. And a lot of times, like you said, that cartoon character where they go online and they're not talking to a professional and they're, well,
right,
we can, you know, do that price shopping to make it affordable. Well, then are you really making it affordable if you end up in that lawsuit and you shortchange yourself?
Right. One of the things that terrifies me, I think about now is, you know, with people with teen drivers and with all the distracted driving, with them texting and doing those different things. If they have a teen that they're insured, they're going to come after the parents, aren't they? If there's a lawsuit.
Yep, that's correct. So Junior's driving your car and, you know, hey, let's face it. We got prom season coming up in the next couple months. So, you know, Junior's taking Dad's nice luxury car out to, you know, look nice and take his date out. And, you know, he's got his buddy in the back seat with his date. And you got four teenage kids. And they're just driving down the road and something happens. They get distracted. Like you said, texting. It could be somebody making a joke. It could be whatever. And your child runs your car off the road and creates damage, which leads to a liability lawsuit. You know, he's not on the hook. Guess what, Dad? You're on the hook. You know,
right.
And you're not only going to get sued for the damage that your son caused with the vehicle, but there's three other passengers in that vehicle that their families might even sue you. And so when you're dealing with multiple people and multiple families that are going after you, because, hey, maybe your kid was driving your Mercedes and they see you got that bigger wallet to go after.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of cost there that you could lose. And, hey, Junior graduates, Junior might, you know, get a misdemeanor or something on his driving record. But at the end of the day, mom and dad is on the hook for that lawsuit. They're the ones that are paying that tab off for the rest of their lives.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I just think people don't think about that stuff, unfortunately.
No, they don't, because they're just shopping on the bottom line. And when you shop on the bottom line, they're more concerned about, well, you know, like I said, either the deductible is too high, so, dear Lord, I can't pay $1,000, or they go, you know what, I'm going to shortchange my liability because that PIP is so expensive because I added that teenage driver on, that they're just not looking at the things that they've collected, you know. And the bad thing about it, those things they collect, their house, their cars, those all come usually like with a mortgage or financing or credit card debt. Those don't go away either. And so, okay, well, you want to get rid of that debt, you're going to file for bankruptcy. Well, here's the thing. Bankruptcy doesn't cover your debt in a lawsuit. You can't get rid of it on a personal basis because you'll always have some form of income, and they will always tap it. Now, perfect example is O.J. Simpson. Why do you think he lives in a condo and he'll never own anything? Because the family that sued him is right. If he ever makes another dime, they're going to get it.
Got it. Wow. So what I'm looking for, Brian, is the person that's listening right now that doesn't know that they need to talk to you yet, what are some triggers or what are some things that you could kind of throw out there that can have somebody go, holy crap, he's talking about me?
Simple and easy. Just ask your agent or, you know, whoever they're dealing with right now, or even if they go online and look at their deck page, the first page that kind of goes over any of their benefits. And when it comes to the liability, if their liability is way less than what they have, like, so if they're carrying 20-40, but yet they own a $200,000 home, give me a call. I'll look over their policy. I can show them where, you know, they might be having their assets hang out a little bit and they need to be protected here or there. And I'll even shop them. I'm an independent agent, so I can shop with multiple insurance carriers to find something that, believe it or not, could be just as affordable as what they're having and give them more protection.
Right, right. The two things that I use and how I recommend people like yourself all the time is asking if they know the name of their agent. And they're like, huh? I mean, I have no idea. I've been with Allstate for 62 years. I think my agent died in the 80s, you know, and I'm like, what? And that's one. And the second one is, when was the last time? So if you know your agent, when was the last time you talked to him? And if you're not talking to your agent every year, then you need to reach out and you need to talk to somebody like Brian. Brian, if you could please share your contact information with our audience, I'd really appreciate it.
Yep. Best way to contact me is to call here into the office, and it's 586-846-3133. That's 586-846-3133, and my extension is 3002.
And you do, we've talked about auto, you do home, and do you, is it just Michigan, or where do you write business in?
Right now, we are Michigan-based. We do write some stuff down in Florida, mostly on the health side. But, you know, we like looking at our neighbors. We like the people out our back door because just like you said, when was the last time you talked to your agent? Well, shouldn't your agent be a neighbor? Because don't they know what you're going through? Because they're probably going through it too.
For sure.
Yeah. That's awesome. So we like keeping it local.
Nice. I love it. Well, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for calling in, and I really appreciate you being on the studio listening to the show live. So for audience, if you're looking for insurance, and even just to bounce it off of them, you know, have them take a look at your stuff, and he may say it's good. I would much rather you have that than find out later that what you have is horrible, and you go, geez, I wish you would have talked to him before. So thanks a lot. Enjoy the rest of your day, buddy.
Same, Al. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, our last guest is going to be Michelle Wojcicki. I think I'm going to butcher her name and see if she's there. Michelle, you there?
I'm here, Al. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Awesome. It's Where's Your House Key?
Where's my house key?
Yeah, that's okay. Michelle Wojcicki, Where's Your House Key?
Oh, okay. You know what's kind of funny? I've just always called you Michelle, and as I'm looking at your name, I'm going like, I don't know that I've ever actually pronounced that before or attempted to brutalize it like I just did.
Good old Polish names. Yes.
Yeah, for sure. So, Michelle, you've had, you know, some time in the insurance business. What was the motivation? What was the thing that brought you to want to work in the insurance industry?
15 years ago, I was doing mortgages, and I was approached by a mentor, a grandfather figure, who owned an independent insurance agency here in Clinton Township, Michigan, and he said, come join me on the other side, get out of mortgages, learn insurance, and offered me an opportunity to basically come into his agency and take over his commercial insurance department. And I learned from one of the greatest. You know, he was 50 years in business, had a great book of business, and, you know, his mentorship and professionalism really set the bar high for, you know, the ethics and morals of wanting to be a good insurance agent. So 15 years later, here I am, out of Clinton Township, Michigan.
That's awesome. Now, with Brian, we were talking about the auto and home. Your specialty is on the commercial side. Can you kind of explain to our audience what's different about what you offer versus the person who does auto and home insurance?
The difference with business insurance is, and with any insurance, people don't know what they don't know, and they usually don't know what they really need until there's a time of loss and they find the deficits of their policy. That maybe they bought a policy because they opened a business and hurried up and got insurance, and then, you know, find out after sitting on a policy for years that maybe, just like Brian had mentioned, with your assets and liabilities being exposed, you know, business owners are exposed at an even greater risk because they have everything for their employees and different liabilities that they need to really make sure are covered for their unique type of business and what they're doing. So what we do at the Salvati Insurance Group is, independent like Brian is, we have multiple carriers to make sure you have the best product and the best coverage with an appropriate carrier for your particular risk and what it is you're doing, whether it be retail or contractor, you know, restaurants and banquet halls. We carry every carrier that can cover you for any type of business here in Michigan. And the difference with, you know, looking at your business policy is going to be knowing what your policy is going to cover you for and how it's going to work for you in the event of a loss or a claim or a lawsuit against you. So we really set the bar high as far as finding the right policy and saving the business owner money, not only on their premium and investment every year, but when it comes time for that claim, that unexpected loss, to make sure they're properly covered for that.
Well, and I can speak from personal experience that when I opened up my carpet cleaning business, it was something where I had no idea. I had no idea what I was supposed to have as far as insurance goes. And sitting mm-hmm. down with your office and going through my specific needs, you guys were actually able to advise me on what was going to best serve me and protect me and my employees, which I would have had no idea. And I'm sure that these are situations that our audience is listening to. You may have that new upstart or that new business that I did. I was backwards. I was basically looking at what insurance I needed before I opened. But I think there are probably people that have gone into business that haven't gone into this. And could you kind of, I don't want to, you know, scare the crap out of people, but can you just kind of scare the crap out of people?
We do that all the time. We do that all the time. So, you know, insurance is unique to the particular business. So I'll speak in broad terms because we could talk about that all day long. There's so
sure.
many different scenarios based on the type of business, corporation, LLC, sole proprietor. You know, whether you're an individual painter, a sole proprietor, small contractor to a large corporation. You have to think about what you're doing today and the risk that you have for that particular business. And most people that call, initial phone calls are the most interesting to me, again, because they don't know what they really need. They just know they need a certificate of insurance. Maybe the state's requiring it, or a contract that they're starting to do work is requiring. They have no idea why. They have no idea what general liability is going to do for them. But at the end of the day, you know, I hear time and again, well, I went online and I got a quote for $350, so I went ahead and bought it because it was cheaper. The problem is that cheap is not found next to the word insurance in the dictionary. You're going to get what you pay for. And a lot of times people don't realize how much really goes into a business insurance policy, whether it be general liability needs, maybe a business owner with a brick and mortar office or retail location, workers' compensation. And then you start talking about group health and benefit plans that could be affordable for the business as well. Commercial auto and things like that. And when it really comes down to it is that what are you doing that puts you in an exposure to be sued? It could be as simple as a contractor going in and not hooking up the plumbing correctly. And the home is being built or renovated, and the next thing you know, there's a $50,000 water claim that could be brought back to the contractor for faulty work. Someone is injured. Someone is injured due to a slip and fall for a cleaning company. You don't put up a sign that says what floor. And then it goes into, are you hiring employees? How are you holding yourself open for those employee injuries or the liability of the employees that do work for you? So it really is a case-by-case scenario, which we look at all those, as you know, we look at all those potential situations that might arise. And how big is your company? You know, what kind of money and securities do you have to protect for what you're really doing? You could really get into it and say if you're an online company, you know, now you've got cyber liability issues and data breach issues that are so common in today's world with taking credit card payments and securing client data information. So doctor's offices have thousands of clients, thousands of patients that come through the door. They transfer payments and very personal information. You imagine a data breach in a doctor's office or a retail establishment like you've heard of Target and some of the big retailers have had. Those could be million-dollar, billion-dollar losses for any company, and a lot of people don't think about that in today's world.
Right, for sure. And I think and another part of it, too, I think is that people get, I'm not going to say complacent, but they've got it set up, and, you know, the company could have been around for 5-10 years, and they've just been an automatic pilot. And what you guys offered, I want you to kind of touch on that, is how interactive you are with your client base to make sure that they're properly covered all the time.
The biggest thing that an agent needs to do for their client, which the Savati Group, Tom, and myself, and the rest of our staff, you know, we have service-dedicated people in our office, which is awesome, because you're not shifted off to an 800 number. You're not dealing with someone in another state or country online. You're dealing with us here locally in Michigan. As your business and your needs change, we're changing with you. You know, let's talk about an example of a new business startup. Right now they have no payroll. They're not bringing in money. Their liability might be small. But guess what? At the end of that policy term, 1 year celebration of being in business, we're relooking at it and revisiting it with them to say, okay, where are you expecting to be year two and three? How have you grown?
Right.
Where are you going? And coming into a new business, you know, the more experience a customer has as a business owner, starting from ground up, year after year, we have ways to monitor those policies to make sure the coverage grows with them, and as well as their premium credit get accounted correctly. You know, as they get experience and they're no longer a new business and they've proven a good track record, there's more discounts for the carrier to provide to the customer. So someone who's really establishing and doing all the right things year after year, we know to keep an eye on those to make sure they're at the right premium for what they need for their business. So we do annual policy reviews. Like I said, we have dedicated service people in our office as well who, as vehicles change, employees change, maybe they start doing other lines of work within their business, we can make sure that those are not inadequacies for their policies. So by doing an annual review and touching base with the customer often, that's how we keep on and keep it on top of, you know, the needs of the changing business world for them.
It's been one of my favorite things, and it was one of the main reasons that when I did my business that I went with you guys, was because of the feedback that I've gotten from others that just said how critical and how important and how unique that was that you guys did that, where it was kind of unheard of in some of the other chain agencies and the different things that, you know, that are going on. So, you know, I greatly applaud you guys for doing that, Michelle.
Thank you very much, Al. We appreciate your business.
So for the business owner, we've talked on some of this stuff, I would say that if you are growing, if your business, you're adding employees, adding vehicles, things are changing, and you haven't spoken to your agent in the last year, or you don't even know who your agent is. there's mm-hmm. another one. I had the same conversation with Brian. Mm-hmm. Who's your agent? I don't know. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. not the way this is supposed to work. Can you talk about the advantage, Michelle, of being an independent versus a captured agent, please?
Huge advantage with being in an independent agency setting, and I've worked in both. So from an agent and a consumer standpoint, I've worked in both, and I've insured myself with both. So the advantage that I found in why I've come back to staying with being appointed with an independent agency is we have options. Not every carrier will be able to cover every scenario. With an independent, we have multiple lines and we have multiple carriers and multiple reaches for different scenarios and coverage options for the customer. It's not cookie cutter. And sometimes people will sell you into a box of their product or brand, but not everyone fits in that box, and that box might not completely have everything you need, but they will sell you a policy based on, well, here's a great rate, and it's a, you know, basic policy, but when you get down to it, there's a lot. I mean, a declaration page for a business owner could be 80-some pages long. Most people don't read it or know what's in there, so they have to trust that their agent is going to know what's in that policy is going to be the best for them. So
right. With
an independent, you're going to have the same representative year after year, myself or Tom Salvati in our office. But what's going to happen is, let's say claims arise. Let's say your building grows. Let's say that your staff goes from 3 to 5 to 50. You know, we're going to grow with you, and we're going to find that right market, whether it be a scenario, we have some incidental claims and now your rates are going up. We're going to shop that for you. We're going to save you the stress. We're going to save you the time, and we're going to educate you as your needs change year after year, good or bad. Claims or just having a great growth business. We're going to make sure that we follow that trend for you to make sure you can be confident that if claims arise or changes happen within your company, we're ready and capable and confident that we can go ahead and take care of you, so you don't have to spend that time and extra money shopping around and dealing with 10, 12 different people to get the coverage that you need.
And I've heard, you know, through the years, I've heard so many different stories of the things that you guys have been able to do to help people. And I think it's not just, you know, cheap is not, that's not what we're ever looking for, but I want a quality product that's going to have me properly protected, and knowing, I guess it's the peace of mind of knowing that you guys got my back, that as things are going on, I know that you guys are going to be there and to recommend what's best for me, and that's just one less thing I got to worry about, and that's the way I want our audience to understand, is that, you know, you need to focus on growing your business and taking care of your family and those things. Things like insurance, these should be things that you know that they got you, you know, and that's to me what Michelle brings to the table and her expertise and her background and you know, the company she's a part of. So, you know, I greatly applaud you guys.
Thank you. It does say something that we're really connected with our clients too. It's not unheard of for us to know our clients so well that they become great referral sources for us. Not only referring us business for other business owners they know, but also we've got a guy. So a great thing is a lot of our clients become referral sources for our other clients. You know, we've got a painter, or we have a great location for a banquet, or we know an auto repair collision shop. You know, there's a vast range of clientele that we service as far as business insurance. And we all become part of this bigger network, you know, a bigger family of people. And it says a lot when you have those type of customers like yourself that are happy. We can refer you cleaning business because we know you do good work, because we have you as our insured. So we know you're insured, you're properly covered, and over the years we get to build that relationship, and that's a great thing that we have going. And I appreciate the compliments to us. I'm sure Tommy's going to be great to hear that as well. So, but it is a good thing to be well connected with your client. They're just not another number. I mean, it's easy to buy milk at the grocery store, but people are going to go where people know their name. You know, there's still a good feeling with knowing your clients and who you're doing service business with, and pretty strong on holding true to.
It's great. Michelle, if somebody wants to learn more about you and your business, can you please share your contact information?
Okay. Well, one of the great ways to find me is on Facebook at Michelle, MichelleW Insurance Pro. But you can reach me directly at the office at 586-286-8200. I'll repeat that number is 586-286-8200. Michelle with the Savati Insurance Group. I look forward to hearing from you guys soon.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being a part of the show. Tell Tommy I said hello, and enjoy the rest of your amazing day. And we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
All right, Al. Have a great weekend. Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. Okay, that wraps it up. For today's show, a lot of fun. It was great talking to – it's always amazing that we can go through that amount of time, and learn so much about so many amazing people. And I'm just really happy that I have this vehicle to be able to do this. So I'll wrap it up for today. As always, God bless America. Take care, and we'll see you again soon. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.